Hello, my name is Richard Wall, and I write the Off the Wall Beekeeping monthly column for Bee Culture magazine. This month's article is on the importance of mite management. First, a bit of history. As the late summer months fade into fall, we need to make sure our varroa mite loads are as much under control as possible at this time of year. Just as the bee populations are beginning to decline in preparation for winter, the mite populations are often exploding. Up until around 1987, beekeepers in the U.S. did not worry about mites. That's the first time that they spotted in the states, and it did not take long for them to spread across the entire country, decimating many of the feral colonies along the way. Much the same as Australia did not have to contend with the mite issue until first spotted in 2022, stateside beekeepers did not pay much attention to European control methods until mites became a problem in the U.S. Since Northern Europe had been dealing with the mite problem since the late 1960s or early 1970s, we in the States followed many of their strategies to control mites. Varroa mites were originally found in Southeast Asia on the Apis serena or eastern honeybee subspecies, which had developed a co-evolved resistance to them. Somehow mites jumped to the European western honeybee subspecies, the Apis mellifera, which lacked those same defenses. Researchers and beekeepers have been working for years to develop a strain of Apis mellifera bees that have that same resistance or tolerance to mites as the Apis serena bees, but have only had limited success. It is therefore imperative for beekeepers to monitor, test, and treat for mites when levels exceed threshold amounts or risk the loss of their bees. Although varroa mites are external parasites, they weaken the honeybees by feeding on the bees and the larva body fat. As the mite feeds, it passes a variety of harmful viruses directly to the bee's body, including the deformed wing virus and acute bee paralysis virus. These direct infections bypass the bee's normal defenses and allow viruses to spread quickly within the colony. The presence of mites also suppresses the bee's immune systems, making them more susceptible to infections. As a result, heavily infected hives often collapse, particularly in late winter or early spring, if the mite loads were too great going into the fall months. The next section is on understanding the mite life cycle. When adult female varroa mites ride on worker or drone bees in the hive, they are in what is called the phoretic state. This is when they are being transported on the adult bee with the mite feeding off the body fat and moving from one bee to another, normally within the hive. During this time, the mite is searching for a brood cell about to be capped in order to reproduce. Mites are unable to reproduce outside of a capped cell and can only survive for a few days if outside the hive and unattached to a bee host. Once the female mite finds a cell to be capped, within the next 6 to 20 hours, it will crawl into and hide in the soon-to-be-capped cell to remain undetected until that cell is capped. Once the cell is capped, the mite begins to lay eggs. The first egg laid is usually an unfertilized male and occurs from 2 to 3 days after capping. The eggs that follow are laid at a bit more than 1 day intervals and are fertilized female eggs. This is very similar to the queen bee laying fertilized eggs that become female workers, while unfertilized eggs become drones. The young mite progeny go through several molts while living off the bee pupa body fat. The male mite is the first to mature in about 5 days and then mates with his sister mites before they emerge with the mature worker or drone bee. At some point, the male mite dies while the original female and one or two of her daughters emerge with the adult bee. The female mites then search out new bees to ride on and new cells about to be capped to continue the cycle. It is believed the mites can sense the pheromone signature of drone cells and are drawn to those cells to reproduce as they provide 2 to 3 days more in the cap stage. This longer time frame allows for an additional mite or two to develop prior to emergence. Therefore, a female mite can produce 1 to 3 female offspring in a reproductive cycle. The female mite can live up to 2 months in the summer and as much as 4 to 6 months in the winter, continuing the reproductive cycle during these times if new brood cells are about to be capped. Naturally, mite population peaks when brood cells are most abundant during the summer months. The summer months are when most drifting between hives occurs. If a bee is bringing nectar, pollen, or water back to a hive, it will likely be allowed to enter, even if not at its own hive. In this manner, if a neighboring beekeeper is not adequately managing their mite counts, drifting bees from a neighboring apiary can result in increased mite loads as they carry a mite or two with them. The next section is on testing for mites. One of the critical elements of integrated pest management is testing for mites. Only with early detection can beekeepers make informed decisions about individual hive health and if treatments are necessary. There are three commonly used methods to test for mite levels. These three include the use of a screened bottom board, the powdered sugar roll, and the alcohol wash methods, each with various limitations and strengths. The screened bottom board method involves the use of a screen in the place of a solid bottom board where mites that are dislodged from bees fall through the screen to a sticky tray below. After scraping screened bottom board trays clean with a paint scraper, it can be sprayed with a quality nonstick cooking pan release spray. I find olive oil-based sprays work the best. Counting the accumulated mites after 1 to 3 days and calculating the average mite drop per day can provide a clue whether mite treatment is needed. Divide the mite count drop by the number of days that the clean tray was left in the hive to get the average 24-hour mite drop. If that average is 10 or more mites per day, it is recommended by most beekeepers that a treatment is needed. This method is considered to be the most passive in that the hive does not need to be disturbed for monitoring, while the screened bottom board can be left in place for continuous observations. The longer the board is left in place, the harder it is to get an accurate count, since there will be additional hive debris falling through the screen. This is considered to be the least accurate of the testing methods. Mite drops are dependent on how many mites get knocked off bees, as the hygienics of the colony can vary greatly. However, the use of screened bottom boards is a good way to check mite treatment results. If a significant drop occurs within a day or two after treatment, it can be assumed that the treatment had some degree of effectiveness. A more accurate method of mite testing is the powdered sugar roll. When using the powdered sugar roll method, 300 bees need to be collected. These bees should be ones that are populating a brood frame, since that is where the mites will hang out in order to sneak into a soon-to-be-capped larva cell. Beekeepers have determined that a half cup contains around 300 bees. To collect the half cup, a brood frame can be gently shaken into a tub or container, and the half cup scooped out of the container can be slowly, or the container can be slowly dragged across the backs of bees on the brood frame. As the container is dragged downward, the bees will release and fall into the container from which the half cup can be put into a testing receptacle. Add 2 tablespoons of powdered sugar to the receptacle and roll and shake the bees in the powdered sugar for about 2 minutes until all the bees are thoroughly coated. The sugar will dislodge most of the mites. After replacing any solid receptacle cover with a screened mesh cover, shake the powdered sugar and dislodged mites into a white bowl or dish with a bit of water. The dark tan mites can be counted as the white powdered sugar dissolves in the water. Divide the mite count by 3 to get the percentage of mites present in the sample. Treatment is considered to be needed if mite counts are 1% or more than 3 to 4 in spring, 2% or more than 6 to 9 in summer, and 3% or more than 9 to 12 in the fall. This method is considered to be gentler on the bees, which can be returned to the hive where they will clean themselves of the powdered sugar. The mite's ability to hang on to bees, the humidity conditions, and the beekeeper rolling technique all play into the accuracy of this method. Some beekeepers consider the shaking or rolling in powdered sugar to be nearly as damaging to the bees as the alcohol wash method, which follows. The third most accurate method of testing is the alcohol wash method. It has been found that winter windshield washer fluid works equally as well as the 70% isopropyl alcohol. First, collect 300 bees, or half cup, as stated in the powdered sugar roll method above. Add the bees and the half cup of washer fluid or alcohol to the clear container and shake well for a full minute to dislodge the mites. The mites will sink to the bottom of the container while the bees tend to float to the top. The mites at the bottom of the container can then be counted. Treatment recommendations remain the same as for the powdered sugar roll percentages previously noted. This method yields highly accurate mite counts, but it of course kills the bees in the sample. But consider the fact that 300 bees are sacrificed to preserve the remaining multiple tens of thousands of bees still in the colony. Although I have reached a point where I feel the need to treat only those hives where mite counts exceed recommended thresholds, many beekeepers with a great number of colonies, particularly those with large commercial operations, do selective sampling and treat all of their colonies, if any in the apiary, deem the need. The method of testing chosen will depend on each beekeeper's goals, the colony conditions, and the personal beekeeper's management philosophies. The next segment is on treatments for mites. It is a natural tendency for beekeepers to want to minimize any chemical-based treatments for their bees. With the profusion of varroa mites across nearly all Apis mellifera beekeeping populations, it is nearly impossible to practice purely non-chemical methods and expect bee colonies to survive. Although there are non-chemical methods in IPM, they seldom work in isolation. Techniques like drone brood removal on green drone frames, sole use of screen bottom boards, or brood interruption, that is queen caging or splits, can augment IPM mite control, but never completely replace the occasional use of chemical treatments. And of course, IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management. The variety of chemical choices varies greatly, with some that can be used with honey supers on, while others require application when no honey exposed to treatments that will be used for human consumption. The span of choices is too great to cover in depth in this article. A superior reference that can be found online or in printed form is the 32-page booklet titled Tools for Varroa Management, published by the Honeybee Coalition, the date of which is August 1st, 2022 edition. And I have a picture of that coalition manual in the article. It can be found online under the same title or the publisher. It is my understanding that a new edition is being prepared this year. As well as with or without supers on, there are seasonal treatment choices based on heat sensitivity or temperature requirements. A recent addition to the lineup of treatments is a product called Varroa San, approved by the EPA. It is a slow-release oxalic acid-based treatment that follows the research done by Randy Oliver, who pioneered the oxalic crystals dissolved in glycerin and then absorbed by small dish towels called Swedish sponges, which were then dehydrated before application. Since my college BS degree includes a minor in chemistry, I was more comfortable trying this detailed recipe than most would be. As soon as Randy's research indicated it had very good efficacy, I replaced my previous oxalic dribble in the fall with this method and was very pleased with the results. A full description of a similar Varroa San treatment method approved by the EPA and how one bee company has used it can be found on the Foxhound Bee Company website at Varroa San, a cardboard oxalic acid strip. Randy Oliver's research can be found at the website scientificbeekeeping.com. Application is much the same as using the HopGuard treatment, where oxalic glycerin impregnated cardboard strips are hung over brood frames. I am in no way affiliated with the Foxhound Bee Company or Randy Oliver, but have found these agencies to be very reliable sources for beekeeping information, research, and results. The next section is on my treatment regimen. I have to admit that I was not as diligent about mite monitoring as I should have been in my first few years of beekeeping and lost hives as a result. I have done much better at testing and treating in the past few years, and as a result have come through two seasons in the last 3 years with 100% overwintering success. My treatment regimen starts with a brood break. I move overwintered queens into split-off nucleus colonies called nucs, which I sell, leaving the original hives to raise new queens. The resultant hive brood break causes most overwintered mites to die off, since for a month or so, they have no new capped brood to reproduce in. When accomplishing splits, I place a green drone frame next to any brood frame remaining in the hive. The mites are drawn to the longer capped drone frame. Gestation time, the drone frame gestation time, and the, I need to page down past a picture, frame is pulled before the drones emerge. With the aforementioned steps accomplished, I test and treat if necessary with Formic Pro in late June or to the early July time frame, and at that time I found mite counts to be at zero or one, negating the need for treatment. I test and treat again if necessary in the late August time frame. I find that at this time, about half of my hives reach a 2% threshold mite count, at which time I use again the Formic Pro. Up until about 3 years ago, I would then do one or two oxalic acid dribbles in late October and again between the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays if the 3% threshold has been reached. For the past 3 years, I have used Randy Oliver's dehydrated glycerin oxalic mix method with the pads left in the hives over the winter. This seems to have provided my greater overwintered success rate, as noted earlier. Beekeepers can now use the EPA-approved Roxanne treatment sold as advertised in the major bee equipment catalogs, which incorporates the previously mentioned slow-release glycerin-oxalic combination. And the EPA-approved Roxanne has been okayed to be used with Honey Supers on. In any event, mite treatment philosophy is one case where the old adage among beekeepers does not seem to apply. Ask 10 beekeepers how they do things with bees and you get 12 different answers. In the case of mites, I think 98 to 99% of beekeepers will tell you that if you do not monitor, test, and treat for mites when required, you will lose your hives. Thank you for listening to this article.